Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 697, The Freshest at Halo, recorded live on August 22nd, 2019. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And this week we are actually joined by my lovely wife.
Hi!
Mrs. Storm.
Yes, Mrs. Storm.
Or her actual handle, Melodious Mel.
Melodious Mel.
Melodious.
Yes.
I'm always singing a song.
Hey! To each their own.
There we go. Yeah. So we have my wife on tonight to talk about her experience with Outpost and her initial take on Halo as a franchise, because we've actually played through Halo 1 together and are about halfway through Halo 2. We stopped playing and streaming whenever Halo Outpost came along, just because that's been taking up the majority of my time.
He's been working on buttons.
Yes.
And a deck. A deck as well.
Just the deck on the side part. He's going to do mine next.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was in the contract, but...
Yeah, didn't you know that?
They always get you in the fine print. Dang it. Either way, we have a little bit of housekeeping to go over since we've been away for a couple weeks. So, GT, how did we do with Frag and Friday for the past couple weeks?
Did really well. Last week, we actually got in and played some Warzone Assault. We kind of bounced back and forth between Assault and regular Warzone, because we had people in the lobby that wanted to do both. So we did capitalize on a little bit of the double XP.
Good.
Played some Fiesta. But we really actually outgrew Big Team pretty quick. So we spent a lot of the night in Warzone. We did try out a new custom game. I can't think of the name of it right now, but you basically get to be Timmy the Whale.
Oh, cool.
It's an Avalanche variant. You have to, except for in this particular game, you just have to survive. But it's similar to the game Avalanche. You have Timmies of varying size coming at you. And you have to dodge them. So that was quite enjoyable.
So you said it's like Avalanche. So is it people are trying to run to an objective or something and the Timmies are trying to...
No, you're actually just staying alive. There's no objective other than staying alive. And you actually board a ghost that is a Timmy whale. So you're a little Timmy whale going back and forth, dodging big Timmy whales.
So it's like Little Shark, Big Shark type thing, or I guess what's the pool game? Minnows and Sharks and Minnows.
Not really.
No.
You basically have the big whales coming at you. You know, just like they're falling down a hill and they'll push you off. You just have to stay on the track.
Oh, okay.
You know, like the Avalanche. You know, other than you have stuff coming at you, and you have to dodge it.
Got it. Okay. Interesting twist on a classic.
Mm-hmm. It was, Utechek actually posted it on his Twitter, is where I found it.
Oh. I've been so enveloped with Outpost, I've probably missed.
Oh, it was totally random that I happened to open Twitter at the point where it happened to be at the top of my feed.
That's always nice. It's just,
yeah.
It's like, oh, this was something I was interested in, and then it's right there at the top.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have to go in the back and fishing for things. Well, that's good. And I saw you were streaming a little bit before the podcast tonight, trying to do the 152 grind.
Yeah, I'm doing the 152 grind on my own. I'm doing that on my Twitch channel. Decided I'm just going to focus on one channel instead of doing the restream stuff, so... I'm going to just push it out on my Twitch channel, so you guys are more than welcome to join in. Looks like I'm going to try to do that for a little while on Thursday nights and Friday nights, probably start at about 5:30 Central Time. It'd be 6:30 Eastern. And I'll run until 7 or 7:30 Central. Yeah, kind of depending on how things are going and how much reading I have to do before the podcast. You know, like when they post the community update or spotlight, you know, 5 minutes before we start.
Yeah, that happened today.
Snickerdoodles. Anyway, so, you know, I'm just doing that. And then I'll also be streaming another game on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. That will be between 6 and 8 Central Time. I'm trying to adjust to keyboard and mice. For those of you on the pod that are watching live on the podcast, this is the keyboard. So I am cheating. I'm using half a controller. But I just, the WSD thing, I just, that hand just cannot figure out how to operate.
Yeah.
But it's a happy medium. I get the precision and the reaction time of using a mouse. I did actually buy a true gaming mouse, and it works really well. And it's taken me, I don't know, I've been farting with it for about a month now, and I'm still kind of tweaking setups, trying to figure out where I like the buttons and such. Because, you know, I have to divide all the everything over the two different controllers, so... And I need to put it in some place, A, that I can remember where it is, and B, that it's convenient to get to.
Cool.
A is usually more of a problem than B.
Really?
Remembering where I assign that button.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, because you probably use A a lot.
Yeah. Well, especially since I've been kind of cycling through setups. You know, if you want to know what I'm doing, you know, the way I feel, just change your controller setup once a day.
Oh, jeez. That would get so confusing so fast.
But I am doing this just, you know, one or two buttons at a time, so.
Sure.
Totally wiping everything. But it's been interesting.
Fair enough. That's cool.
And then there's nights I just get frustrated with it and I plug in a controller.
Hey, some of the pros player, like some of the Halo pros are playing some other the first-person shooter titles with controller on PC, so. It's still a valid option.
I usually, right now, I'm not good enough for anything real competitive, you know, like PvP. So if I go into that particular genre, I'll generally put the keyboard and mouse down and pick up a controller. I'm still working on my accuracy with the mouse. I've played with a controller with the aim assist off, and it's different. On a controller versus a mouse, even with the aim assist off, it just doesn't work the same. The hand motion is the big difference. Instead of moving my thumb, I'm moving my whole hand.
Right.
So, you know, it's just things to get used to, but it's going well. But that's basically the point of the Tuesday and Wednesday streams is me working on that and getting ready for MCC. Hopefully I get into the next flight. Fingers crossed.
Same.
If I do get into that flight, I will be streaming that on Mondays and Tuesdays.
If we're allowed to stream.
If we're allowed to stream. If not, we'll work something out.
Which we actually have some news to talk about on that a little bit later, too.
A little bit.
Yeah. So no achievement streams, I think, since last time we had the podcast. Or no, we did one, actually, with Laird and I actually did a stream. I actually did get an achievement. I think it was for playing 24 hours of Halo Wars. I don't remember what that one's called, but that was the one achievement that we got. And if I take a look at my little sticky notes, I still have to get gold on Mission 4, which is Arcadia City, and then get part-time on Heroic on Mission 6 and 9 to get those two achievements. So that's what I'll be working on with Laird this Sunday. And then it's a couple of the multiplayer ones to still get. And then that should be most of Definitive Edition. And I'll probably hop back over to Halo Wars 2 and pick that up with Bobby, and might have Laird joined along that one too. Yeah, the grindy ones are going to suck. I still have the grindy ones on the original to do with Bobby as well.
I am glad I'm done with those.
Grindy, grindy, grindy. Oh, I will be showing those switches off after Outpost Geolos, but I made some game show buttons for Outposts specifically, and they've been working really well.
They've been really awesome.
Now that he figured out what he broke.
So there's still something, I think there's some collision happening with radio transmissions that I still got to figure out, but it works when it needs to work, and it does what it needs to do, and to everyone else, it works flawlessly. Good.
Yeah, it worked great for the game show.
Except for when you're in the testing environment, that's when it doesn't work, right?
Hey, if it doesn't work in testing environment, where it works in live environment, I'll take it for now and just refine it for whenever I use them again. For whenever I use them again. So yeah, I'll take it. Cool. So I'm going to go ahead and head on over to my wife, since we were both in Houston together for Outpost. And she'll probably be heading to bed a little bit earlier than I am. And doesn't want to be on for the entire podcast, but wanted to get her take on Outpost, since I've been talking about it for the last month and a half, and figured this would be a good time for her to kind of give her a little explanation into what she feels about the Halo universe and about Outpost Discovery in particular. So I guess first things first, let's start with your initial impressions of Halo as a franchise, because did you know about Halo or of Halo before you started dating me? We'll start with that.
I had heard of it, but I was never really introduced to it or knew much about it at all. And then we were friends before, so I kind of heard about it a little bit from you while we were friends. And then obviously, as we started dating, I learned more and more about it.
Confell wants to know if you beat me in laser tag.
No.
We were always on the same team, so we won and lost together.
Yeah.
Like a good couple.
I'm actually quite ashamed to tell my score. I think I celebrated when I got one kill.
My dad does that. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. It's funny, Laird saying sorry he dragged you in, and then G-Lewis is like, Dustin showed you the light.
What a difference.
Well, let me tell you a little significant story. Difference. Back when I first got into Halo, my screen name was Bait.
Bait?
Bait. Like in fish bait. Because just bait. All the other people in the game would wait for me to get shot and then shoot the person that shot me.
Oh. I see.
So I got to be Bait.
So did you have someone else who was... Had the game tag switch?
No.
Because that would have been cool.
We did have default. You were killed by default.
That must have been pretty rare to get.
This was on Xbox One. It could be whatever you wanted.
Oh, the original.
The original Xbox. Halo CE.
So not the Xbox
Before Live existed.
Account.
Not an Xbox Live account, no.
Got it.
Just my profile name was Bait.
That's pretty clever, actually. I like it.
Well, you know, after the third time I saw it happen, I went in and changed it.
Was Godzilla T the one that you chose right after that?
Godzilla T is what I signed up when I got my live account.
Cool. So it's been the same ever since.
Yeah, I had to edit it once because when I set it up, apparently I spelt it wrong.
Oh. Oh, well.
I think I left out one of the L's and people just couldn't figure that out. So I went in and when they announced where you could change them for, you could change it once for free, then I went in and changed it. Or no, I might even spent the... whatever the 800 Microsoft points or whatever it was to
the 10 bucks.
I can't even remember what it was.
Yeah, it was $10. It's still 800 Microsoft points. Yeah. So you've also played through Halo 1, and we're halfway through Halo 2 right now. So what is your impression of the Halo franchise after playing those games and after experiencing the ring experience and the Hall of History?
So I remember one of the first things that you said when we started dating about what you really liked about Halo, and it was the story behind it. So I kind of always had that in my mind as I was learning more about it. And through, of course, with Halo 1, for some reason, I kind of had to go through it once and then watch it back through to really grasp the whole story. But the story is really fascinating. And it just, I don't feel like it takes much to pull you into it. So I kind of felt the same way as I watched Halo 1 back through after we had played it. I felt that the story was very interesting, and I started picking up on all of the pieces. And then at Outpost, got even more of the story and the backstory through the ring experience and what was the other one you said? The Hall of History. And so I feel like the more and more I pick up on it, the more excited I am about like understanding the story. So I kind of feel the same way that it's not just a typical game. Like it has so much of a story behind it. And I know I keep using that word, but it's just more than just a classic video game. There's so much more to it because of the lore is what is the word that you guys use. I was trying to use another word besides story. And then there's all of the books I know about, and I feel like it really drew me in because of that, kind of like you. So I feel like I kind of had a similar experience to when you first initially liked it.
Story's a good one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the thing that always got me is Halo CE is what sucked me in. And it's not a complex story. It's not that deep.
Right.
But it gets you interested.
Yes. Exactly.
And it makes you want to find out more. And that's what's always got me with the Halo universe. With some exceptions, there are some stories out there that just shouldn't be told the way they were told, but
I don't know what you could be talking about.
Let's not go there tonight.
For another podcast.
But it still gets you interested enough to go look at the external fiction, at least for me. Now, it doesn't do it for everybody, and there's a lot of people that are just interested in the game story, which is fine. There's lots of people out there that the only thing they're interested in is the multiplayer. That's fine, too. But what keeps me coming back is the story.
I can definitely see that. And after we went through the Hall of History, I literally felt that excitement and just wanted to learn more. Of course, there are a lot of books that I want to read eventually, but the Halo books are definitely something that I'd be interested in reading.
There's 26 novels, a lot of graphic novels, and some other additional fiction out there.
What number are you on again?
I only have
4. No, I'm sorry. 8.
I think, yeah, there's 8 books I haven't read yet.
Dave. I know he gets
18 out of 26 ain't bad. It's not a passing grade, but it's not bad.
It's average.
And I'll be done with 1 here in the next couple of weeks. And we'll be doing our next book show in the next couple of weeks. So
there you go.
It'll be 7.
Let's see. I've gone through the book twice already.
You're also not having to plan 5 payloads for every single outpost.
Hey, I'm not the one that did it to myself either.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were freaking going to say that. It's been a lot of fun, though. It's been a great experience, and I'm happy that it's going to be over, but there's going to be a little part of me that's going to miss being able to see everybody and just making all the new friends that I've gotten to meet. And actually, I've met quite a few Podtacular people for the first time as well. So I've met Skyrim Halo. I've met Dust Sander. Saw Bobby again in Philly. Met Pins again. I know there's a couple other people. I have to go back and see who I took pictures with. But yeah, there's some people out there in the Podtacular community that I just hadn't met before and got a chance to meet through this, which has been pretty cool.
Yeah. It really makes me wish I was able to attend all of them like you did, but yeah, I don't have that time kind of time.
We'll see what they do with it next year. There's a lot of changes they want to make, but there's still a lot of things up in the air from what it sounds like.
Maybe I'll get lucky and there'll be one close to me. But
maybe.
Somehow I doubt it.
We'll just see what next year holds. I mean, how about that?
I mean, I'm smack dab in the middle of the country. There is no better place to put it, but I guarantee you they'll put it somewhere else. It's just my luck.
Yeah, because you said you have a convention center that would fit it, right?
Yeah. Actually, we've got... Actually, I believe we've probably got two of them that would fit it. Because I think Sprint Center's big enough to hold it.
Now, one of the things they did say was
Sprint Center's probably not big enough to hold it, but Bartle Hall, which is our big convention hall, it is definitely big enough. It's like 380 square feet.
Hmm. Yeah, that'd be big enough.
380,000 square feet.
Sorry. Right.
Not 380 square feet. That'd be one small convention center.
I figured the 1,000 was kind of implied.
But you know, like Sprint Center, it's an arena, so I don't think it has enough floor space. You know, it's geared more towards concerts and stuff like that.
Right. They said actually that's probably information I shouldn't disclose. But they are looking at what they can do for next year and the different options, different way of maybe changing things up. Like they said that they're looking at maybe doing just two next year, one at the beginning of the summer, one at the end of the summer, and maybe doing smaller kind of like Firebase type of deployments throughout the year. And mm-hmm. that way they can take it overseas. They're also seeing if they want to do the same kind of thing where it's a lot of locations again, but there's a lot of different options they're looking at still right now with what they want to do. We'll hear probably in either holiday season or probably springtime on what those plans might be. Because the public announcement for Outpost didn't happen until, what, February this year?
Something like that, yeah. February, March. I can't remember exactly when, but, you know, it was early in the year.
Oh, Fush, it was announced way before June, even though June was the trailer. Or Fuchs, sorry.
Come on, get it right. You know how it's said now.
I know how to say it, yes. I know it's Fuchs. I just defaulted back.
I'm still
back.
Calling him Fudged.
Fuchs. Yeah. So, back to my wife. So, you've actually gotten to experience all the experiences. Except for, we didn't do VR together, right?
Correct. I didn't do the VR.
So we did everything except VR. What was your favorite experience?
That's difficult. I would have to say, I think between laser tag and the Pelican training. The Pelican training was really awesome, though. It was really neat how you had to work together with everybody. And they told you that from the very beginning. You need to work together. And yeah, it was really neat that you had to work together. And then also the laser tag, just because laser tag
is laser tag.
Amazing.
Just because it's laser tag.
Because it's laser tag. But what was also what was also really neat is that they had the Halo soundtrack, the Halo music playing in the background. And it was just that, I don't know, that just made it feel even more like you were playing in the game. and they even had the sounds that were the same as you respond. The sounds were the same. So it was just, it really felt like you were in the Halo game.
Yeah. The whole experience is almost completely tailored to Halo. The weapons are battle rifles, basically. All the sounds are Halo sounds, except for like the announcer. And then having the blue team and red team, and then green team, purple team. Yeah, most of it was very much Halo themed, even though it's a company that goes and makes these laser tag sets and equipment. But it's a whole lot of fun.
It really was. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, they had 343 to get all the assets from, so you know, it wasn't like they had to generate all that stuff.
Right, but it's still cool to see that they were actually able to make it Halo. And I mean,
yeah,
it makes sense because 343 probably wanted that in the first place. But it's just cool to see that the effort and the freedom was given to the folks that made the laser tag experience to make it as much Halo as possible.
Oh, most definitely, yeah.
One thing that was new in Houston for the very first time, which is a little bit confusing because there's the combat deck, which is the laser tag, but then there's a new thing that they added called combat training. And they basically just took an extra set of Boomco blasters that they probably had from training grounds. And it was just an arena setup. It wasn't any track scoring or anything. It's just you picked up a blaster and you just shot each other for 3.5 minutes.
Nice. With darts.
They had safety glasses for people that didn't have glasses. And Ace is also in the Twitch chat. He's a really good friend of mine. The three of us were basically in this arena. And at one point, we had some of the folks who had attended some of our panels, I think through the Foraging folks. And they came over and was like, it's like, we're coming after you. And it's like, we don't care. We're going after each other. That's the only reason we're in this arena is to just shoot each other.
And we did. We went after, the three of us went after each other, and it was pretty epic.
I seem to remember you almost exclusively went after me.
No.
Well, that's beside the point.
True. She loves you, Dust.
Possibly.
I know she does.
I love you, but that doesn't mean if we're playing in a game, I'm not going to try to shoot you. In the game. Just to be clear. Just in the game.
Yes.
But one of the things that I also really enjoyed about the experience is just you really felt like you were in the Halo universe with people either from the 405th or just in cosplay, walking around in uniforms, and all of the experiences, and then all the replicas that they had, the Elite and Master Chief, and even the Warthogs. Like, it was just, and the music playing in the background, you just really felt like you were kind of there in a sense. And it was really surreal.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, laser tag in general is fun. And then the whole experience, I do feel personally that there is a lot of things that they could have done to make it a little more accessible to those who aren't necessarily into Halo that much. Like, I feel the only thing that was there was the Hall of History and the Ring experience. Because other than that, it was pretty much everything else that Halo people would want to do, like the VR, like the laser tag, and all that stuff. I felt like that was very much geared towards people who were huge fans of the franchise. So I almost wish the Hall of History was a little bit more like a museum. It had a little bit of that vibe, but just with the space that they had, it seemed like there was a lot of space used for very little information, and it was barely just like scraping the surface.
Well, from what I've gathered, it sounds like there was a lot more information there if you actually bothered with the the app, which don't kind get me of. Wrong, it's a neat twist, but a lot of that stuff probably really should have been there on display.
So my parents came to the outpost in Houston because I'm from Houston and they used to live in Houston. They're not going to pull out their phone and use an app while they're there. If they're going to learn about this, they're going to see what's there and they're going to read what's on the silk screens or whatever plaque is up there. And that's how they're going to learn about it. It's not going to be, pull out this app and you can learn more about this.
You know, the app would be cool for, you know, just like a holographic display of the ship or something like that, you know, to kind of bring it to 3D life. Things like that, which it does do for some things. But it to me, it sounds like there was a lot of extra lore that was required, the app was required to get to be able to read.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is one of those things I would probably recommend that they actually move that into the actual museum, and that would probably help fill that void that you're talking about and make it feel more like a museum. And
yeah, I felt like it was either suited for two kind of extremes. Either someone who's barely scratching the surface and just to kind of scratch and they're just like, oh, this is kind of interesting. But there was no real way to kind of like take you down a few steps into what the Halo franchise is. And then that gives you a little more option to branch out and be like, oh, okay. So I know of these general topical things. Here are other ways I can start diving into Halo if you're interested. I felt like it's like a book cover, but it doesn't really give you a good, it's like, all right, here's the book cover, here's what the book's about, okay. And then from there you just dive straight into detail. There's not like there's not an ease into some of the other Halo stuff, I feel, from just that very high-level Hall of History type stuff into more detail. And maybe that's intentional because of, hey, this is supposed to be a declassified version of what the Halo universe is, so only so much can be out there and whatnot.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say, is, you know, the whole premise of this is that it's a recruitment center. So, you know, it's going to be necessarily vague on certain things, because they don't really want you to know what you're getting yourself into when you sign on the dotted line.
True.
You know, the shots that I've seen and, you know, the video that I've seen, it does remind me of a military recruitment center. You know, in a military recruitment center, there's not a whole lot of information just laying about. You've got to kind of dig for it. You know, you've got pamphlets that, yeah, they give you an overview, but they don't give you a deep dive into it. Which, like I said, the Hall of History is trying to kind of fit that vibe. Granted, we don't have, I don't know of any recruitment centers that are quite 300-something thousand square feet, but hey, anyway, but yeah, I think it would be more enjoyable for everyone if there was a little bit more detail there or more information there that easily accessible.
Right. What do you think of the level of detail as far as information goes? Because you're a little bit more exposed to the story with having played the games before.
I can see what you're saying as far as maybe a little bit more detail. I mean, the Hall of History wasn't that big. So I could definitely see a little more that would make sense. But I still thought it was good information and I still enjoyed it. So I don't know if that kind of answers.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it just says that I'm in way too deep and I'm not the fresh perspective on things, so maybe this is a little bit better of a fresh perspective on things.
Dust, you and me both, we're 6 feet under.
We're more than 6 feet under. We're like 6 miles under, if that's even possible. So, yeah, it's a lot of cool stuff. I think it's been a really awesome experience. You've definitely enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it. Yes.
Is there anything else that really sticks out?
I'm trying to think. I just think that, I don't know, I guess I'm interested to see what they do next year to kind of add on to it, or to, is it going to be something completely different, or I'm interested to see that. But as far as this year, I really enjoyed it, and I felt like, as somebody who is still kind of learning about Halo, I felt like it kind of gave me a push to learn more and to be excited about it. So I thought it was a great experience. And like I said, I'm excited to see what happens next year.
I have to agree with that.
You would have to disagree.
I'm going to disagree with that.
I'm going to disagree just to disagree.
Oh, we're doing that, huh? No, just kidding.
But we are looking to get back into Halo 2. I think we got through the two Delta Halo Master Chief missions. I think that's where we stopped.
I honestly don't remember. It's been a while.
I think we're on the second set of Arbiter missions in Halo 2. After Outpost, we'll start diving into that a little bit. We've been streaming that on my personal channel on the Dust Storm Mixer account. So once Outpost is done and once we kind of get settled back into normal life, we'll start streaming that again. We have been streaming on Tuesdays, but we might switch that to Saturdays just because it's a little bit easier. Or we might do Tuesdays because now you're not working on Wednesdays.
That's true. Yeah. So that could actually work well. I will say, though, when I played, you played the Elite at one point, right?
Yes, the Arbiter.
Or the Arbiter. Yeah, that threw me off. I remember that totally threw me off. And I think you said, do I play him again at some point?
Yes.
Yes.
I think, yeah.
We play him again next.
Okay. So I'm going to have to, well, at least since we haven't done it in a while, so I'll probably feel comfortable with that. And then when we move back to Master Chief, I'll get thrown off again. But I guess that is kind of cool that it's not just one character that you're playing, but it definitely threw me off.
I personally, that's one of the things I love about Halo 2 is that you actually get both sides of the stories and you have two main characters. Yeah. That's kind of what I was hoping what they would have done with Halo 5, but obviously they didn't. But
I was hoping for a little bit more of a balance.
You mean just balance, period?
Balance between the two characters.
We'll likely have you on again, though, after we get through all the campaign stuff with Halo.
Yeah.
Get her take on a fresh set of eyes on the Halo lore, so to speak. And then we'll just keep pulling her closer and closer in.
I am being pulled. I feel the pull. Especially after Outpost.
Cool. Well, thank you for being on the podcast.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Does anyone in the chat have any questions for her as far as her new experience with Halo or just her experience with Outpost? Because, I mean, now's the perfect time. This is probably... I don't know. This is... Not to make it sound weird, but this is probably I'm trying to figure out how to say this. Like the freshest to the franchise person that we've had on the show.
Yeah, probably. Well, actually, I do have a question.
Yeah, I can see that.
As someone that is relatively new to the Halo universe and the Halo community, what do you think of the community overall? I mean, is it someplace you would recommend people to come join? You know, just your thoughts on that.
I definitely think so. After hearing some of the panelists and hearing how many different ways there are to get involved in the community, I don't know that much about other video games, but it seems like from what I know, it seems like the Halo community is just a whole different level than communities for other video games. But there are so many ways to get involved. Hearing about, you know, if you are into designing costumes, you know, you can do the cosplay, or there was a panel about Forge and learning about how you can create and customize your own maps and have your creative outlet that way. Or if you're into recording, like you guys doing the podcast, or there's even with the podcast, you can do a podcast on, like you guys do it on the news, or you can do it on the lore. There's so many different ways to get involved. And that just, I don't know, that really fascinates me that there's so many ways to get involved, but it's all centralized on people who love this game. And I definitely would encourage people to get involved. And I've thought too about, you know, it's difficult because there are so many different things. There's so many different hobbies that I kind of like to pursue, and there's not enough hours in the day, but I've thought about, you know, okay, if I did this one day, like what would I, you know, do, and what would I do in the community? So I definitely would encourage people to get involved in the community. And everyone that I've interacted with in the community is just so kind and just very encouraging. And it's a wonderful community from what I've experienced.
So. Now, here's the good question.
Uh-oh.
Before you became involved with Halo, what did you think about video games, first-person shooters, just in an overall package? I know you didn't really have an opinion on Halo because you'd never played it and never really discussed it with him, but just like a first-person shooter genre, what was your mentality towards that type of game?
Think of your second graders in Fortnite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I taught second grade, and they were very into Fortnite. Let's just say I saw the dance moves almost every day.
Before you go on, I want to make one little comment. There was a kid in the cosplay contest who was nonstop, constantly looking up at the screen and watching him help himself do the floss and do four or five different Fortnite dance moves. It is like, okay, kid, once or twice is funny. You doing it for the whole time you're up on stage is a little ridiculous.
He's a kid, though. He doesn't.
He was having fun. Who cares?
Exactly. It was like his 5 minutes of fame, you know? So. But. Wait, what was the question? Sorry.
What was your opinion of just the shooter genre before you got involved with Halo? Before Dust introduced you to the community and the game.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I would say that I didn't necessarily understand it. And I guess I kind of, in a way, kind of, you know, there's a lot of media saying, you know, oh, do, you know, first person shooters cause, you know, cause incidents and, you know, shootings in real life and things like that. And I didn't really know what to think, but I know there's a lot of research, and I know Dustin and I have talked about it and like how that's not the case, like the media is presenting, but I guess I was still kind of forming my opinion. I had mixed feelings on it. And
it wasn't really a genre that you wanted to jump into.
Yes, I would definitely say that. It wasn't something that I was like, oh, I want to do this. You know, this is something that interests me. But actually, it kind of, with being introduced to Halo and learning more about it, it kind of opened my eyes to understanding it a little bit more and kind of having a more informed opinion of it rather than just what, you know, everyone's saying in the media and everything. So, but it's, my opinion has definitely changed over time with that.
Another thing too for her is you actually played some video games growing up. It wasn't shooters, but you did actually play Kingdom Hearts and a few other games on PlayStation while you're growing up.
Yeah, so I definitely had some experience with them, and I played my cousins had Nintendo and all those things. So we would play Mario and all those. So I had some experience with video games, but not actually first-person shooter games. So that was a new thing for me.
Erkibu asked you, describe what Halo is to you and what it's about, just from what you know.
Describe what the game Halo is, or what a Halo actually is. I'm guessing it's the video
game.
The game. Wow.
Just in your own words, from what you've experienced so far, what is Halo about?
It's about something that was originally, I don't know if this is getting too deep, or maybe it's not deep at all, but something that was originally created for good was turned into, or was used by somebody else as something that was used for, something that was originally created for something good was then used by someone else as something destructive. Am I like, I'm looking at your face, and your face is like, no.
I can see where she's coming from.
Okay.
Look at it this way. Answer the question like you're describing the game to someone else. You're trying to get them involved in Halo. How would you describe that to them?
I feel like this is something I have to think more.
That's okay.
We can always readdress it sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, I don't know. I think we'll
pull an audible on that one. We'll talk about it next time she's on the show.
Yes. I will come back to that one, Erkibu. Penn says, revisit that.
We'll bookmark that one for later.
That one probably would be better served by a little bit more experience in the genre.
Maybe even after, I don't know, maybe even after Halo 2 would I have a different answer. I don't know. We'll come back to it.
After Halo 2, yeah, you'd have a lot more understanding about what the franchise is about.
I feel like I'm still at the point where I am kind of forming my understanding in my head, but to actually like explain it is still...
Words are hard.
Well, yeah, words are definitely hard. And this is normally my time of shutting down. So, shutting down for the
brain
night. So,
fried.
Exactly. So, but that is a great question. And I will definitely, Erkibu, idea, interview her periodically as she finishes the game. That's a good idea.
We did have the idea of having you on the show after every game. We just didn't do it after Halo 1 for some reason. But I do see where her answer kind of fits in with just playing the first game. But I think after playing the second game, there'll be a lot more unraveled and a lot more understanding to come of it.
Yes. Yes.
But thank you for joining the podcast.
Thank you, everybody. This has been awesome, and I'm excited to come back on again after I experience more Halo.
So now we're going to switch over to the news stuff since we've got all the outposts for Houston out of the way. I do want to actually mention one thing. I got to do the game show twice so my parents could see it on Sunday, and that was a lot of fun. So Friday was
cool.
Small crowd, and then Sunday was a lot bigger crowd in Houston, and it was really fun. And the game show went off without a hitch, which was good because I didn't have to work up to the last minute for the game show in Houston like I had for all the other three cities.
It's always nice to get that right the fifth time.
Yes. It's like, oh, I have actually now have a good idea of what I've been trying to accomplish and can actually accomplish it now. So that was nice.
Yeah.
We do have a little bit of news. Actually, not as much as I was going to anticipate having been off for 2 weeks. So I'm actually kind of happy there's not too much news going on. But first bit of news that we have comes from Waypoint. And this is that the Windows Halo app has been sunsetted as of August 16th. So they made the announcement the day before, they were going to stop publishing stuff to the app. And they're basically saying all the news and HCS stuff that has been going to the app before, they're stopping pushing that. Halo Wars 2 game stats will continue to populate the app until February 16th of next year. But at that point, the app will be pretty much useless. And they've also said it's safe to go ahead and uninstall it. You don't have to have the app anymore to launch the games, which that has always been annoying. Yeah. So as of August 16th, you no longer have to have the app to launch the games, which has been so annoying. And I'm happy that they took that out, to be honest.
Yeah, that's, I kind of wish some other platforms would do that. Like
Steam?
Blizzard. Steam. I don't want to have to open the app to launch my games. I just want a shortcut on the desktop to where I can launch the game. I don't care if it launches the app in the background for connections or verification, but all I want to do is click on the icon and launch the game.
So I think Steam's at least smart enough it'll launch Steam, but then launch the app, right?
I don't know. I don't own any Steam games yet.
Oh. I'll have to give that a try. And then we'll have to see if we're in the insider ring.
Once the insiders shows up, if I get in that, then I'll have something on Steam.
Yes, exactly. You'll have that prime experience right there. I do hope that we get into the flight for this one.
Me too.
Because it'd be nice to actually do firefight with people I know. If of course, we get in.
Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully.
Yeah. Yep. So, Halo app is going away. You can go ahead and install it. It will have no negative impact into however you use it today with opening Halo 5 Forge or Halo Wars 2. It's basically not useful anymore. I honestly liked the idea of the app as being a place where you could get some of the Halo stuff, and I felt like if there was a lot more integration with Halo Waypoint itself, it could have been a lot more resourceful. I just think, unfortunately, similar to Halo Waypoint on the Xbox.
Well, it's the Halo Channel app all over again.
Yeah. Sorry, the Halo Waypoint app on the Xbox is actually pretty good, and I'll still go back and reference it every now and then, but the Halo Channel app on the Xbox One.
Yeah, the Halo Waypoint app. But, you know, none of the information is being updated on it. But they need to pick an application and develop it. Not this haphazard throw stuff together.
Yeah.
They had it with the Halo Waypoint app. Don't get me wrong. There were some improvements, some navigation issues that they could have worked on. But the Halo Waypoint app, it was a functional app. It was useful. I had a reason to go use it.
Same. I mean, not to mention that you had to do the whole XP terminal stuff for Halo 4 in it, which made it a little bit more useful as well.
Even beyond that, I used it for a lot of other stuff. That's where I consumed a lot of my Halo stuff is on the Waypoint app. The stuff they posted. You know, because it was right there on my Xbox. If I wasn't playing a game, I could go into the app and I could catch up on the latest Halo news.
I think if they had a developer develop a unified app between mobile devices, desktop, and Xbox One, and partnered with a company that actually knew how to make those kinds of apps work, that would be a good experience for a Halo app.
They're Microsoft. There's got to be somebody in one of them buildings that can do that.
They have plenty enough apps as it is already.
I mean, it's not like, you know, Microsoft doesn't know how to write software. They forgot how to test it, but they do know how to write it. Anyway.
Yeah. They've been popping up in the news a lot lately.
this does not surprise me at all. Matter of fact, when I read it, I jumped for joy that I won't have to launch the Halo app to launch Halo 5 or launch Halo Wars 2.
I haven't tested it yet. I did uninstall the Halo app, but I haven't tested actually launching Halo Wars 2 or Halo 5 yet.
Well, currently I don't have any of them installed on my desktop because I'm not running Windows 10 on my desktop. So
you do have another computer with Windows 10 on it though, right?
Yeah, I do, but it doesn't have enough hard drive space to run that. Well, I guess I do have a laptop. I haven't tried it. I haven't installed the Halo app yet, so I'll have to try that.
There we go. I'll
probably do that tomorrow.
Another announcement that they made this past week, kind of, I think it was in relation to the Windows app sunsetting, is there's a new website, live.halo.gg. This is a new experimental extension of the Halo Esports homepage, so halo.gg. It's leveraging the Maestro service to showcase featured content and community content that they've specifically curated. So if you go to halo.live.gg, then you will get a little interface that has one of the HCS grassroots live streamers on it, if there are streaming live. And then there's other playlists that they've specifically curated. So some montages, some other helpful tips and tricks videos, a lot of different other kind of stuff that has been put out by some of the HCS grassroots people. And it's just another place for you to actually watch content that is specifically related to HCS. They do also plan to use it for whenever there are partner tournament streams. So whenever there's an HCS grassroots tournament, or when it starts back up again, probably when the HCS championship series makes a return, or the actual league or season makes a return, they'll probably be using it. But right now it's experimental. They're seeing how it works, and this is pretty much they're retesting how to push out content that's not the Halo app. So we'll see how well this one takes up. They are going to be issuing challenges for live.halo.gg. There's no challenges up there right now, but this is part of the trial stuff that they're doing. It's going to also be used as possible unlocks in Halo 5 and MCC, so the little nameplate and emblem that you would get for hopping into one of the HCS grassroots streams or whatever is probably something that they'll do as a challenge on this website. So we'll have to see how this works out.
Yeah. Yeah, I've just been poking around on it for a little bit. And looks like right now Nated's streaming.
He's streaming a lot.
Yeah.
He streams very frequently. He might be streaming Minecraft still, actually.
No, not Nated. Halo 2 right at the moment.
I'm thinking Ubernick. Ubernick was streaming earlier, and he was playing Minecraft, and said he was live, which that might be another thing they need to figure out. It's like, probably shouldn't be showcasing someone if they're not playing Halo.
Probably would be something they would need to have the algorithm check the game title before it decides to show them.
Well, so when I checked earlier, it was showing Vito because he was streaming, but it also had, because Ubernick is one of the HCS grassroots partners, it said, hey, he was live too.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't playing Halo. So I don't know if that's something where they don't want to show that he's live, or maybe add a clarification in there is like they're live and they're playing Halo.
Yeah.
But this is a trial period. Yeah. So they're still figuring things out.
We'll see
out.
How things work.
Yep. We have a new cannon fodder regarding the announcement that was made at Gamescom that there is a Halo Reach character pack in Gears 5. So for those that are getting Gears 5 Ultimate Edition or have Xbox Ultimate Game Pass and get it as part of their subscription, you'll be able to get the Halo Reach character pack, which includes Emil A239 and Cat B320 as playable characters in all multiplayer modes, both PvP and PvE. With that, there's also
Does Gears have vehicles?
No.
Okay, then you're safe.
Wow, we just went there, didn't we?
You know we were.
Yeah. Dang it, Cat. And along with
I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, at first I was a little like, what? Why are they doing this? But then after they came out with the cannon fodder, it made a lot more sense. It's like, okay, I can be on board with this. In addition to Kat and Emile, they have 5 different weapon skins. So there's noble team skins for the Jack, the Banner, the Blood Spray, the Mark, and the weapon sets. So all different ways to modify your character appearance and all that stuff. So that's cool. You can add your Halo Flare to gears.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like they even brought in some Halo abilities. Kat gets the hologram, and Emile gets the bubble shield.
Yep. There's a little unofficial communique for Noble 2 and Noble 4, so Emile and Kat, to be deployed to address the locust infestation stuff. So it's funny because Grimm specifically calls out CIA and says, no, this is not canon. So all this stuff.
Well, you knew he was going to ask.
Yep. But it's all very appropriate. It works well. All the weapon skins and the different stuff that it showed off as far as the Reach customization theme works very well with gear. Uh-huh. So just having the Lancer and the, I forget what their shotgun weapon is, but it, you can see where it has that blend of Halo and Gears, and it works pretty well. There's also a little bit of bios in there about Kat and Emile. So their birth role, date of birth, what their role is in Gears. So for Kat, it's an engineer. And then for Emile, it's offensive.
Big surprise. Oh.
Huge surprise. There's also a little bit of Gears lore that Grimm provides as well for those who may not be familiar with the franchise and are curious about it. So it gives a very brief backstory of Sarah, which is the planet that the Gears of War universe takes place on, what the Locust is, how they came into to play, and then what the emulsion fluid is. So it gives a very high-level overview of Gears for those who might be interested in maybe checking it out and getting more involved. Oh, it's the Nasher, it's the shotgun. Grimm also talks about some other crossovers that have happened before. So in Killer Instinct, we had the Arbiter and General Ram in there. So this is not the first time that Halo and Gears have crossed swords, so to speak. And we also had in Rocket League a Warthog and the Armadillo, which I don't think the Armadillo is like drivable in multiplayer. I think it's just one of those campaign type of vehicles. But those are two vehicles within the Gears and the Halo universe that also have made a cross appearance before. And speaking of cross appearances, Sea of Thieves has also opened up another opportunity for you to get the Spartan ship set. So from now until August 24th, which will be on Saturday, at 11 p.m. British Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, you can go in, just log into Sea of Thieves, play Adventure Arena, and you'll get gifted with the Spartan ship set. And to wrap up this cannon fodder, Grimm gives us a little bit of a look ahead to some of the guests that we're going to have at Outpost Anaheim. I've told this one is going to be a very big outpost. There's going to be some pretty significant announcements. We've got quite a few guests here, which I'll go over here in a minute. There's going to be over 40 people from the studio at Outpost in Anaheim. So this is going to be a big one.
Doesn't surprise me.
This is the closest one they have.
Yeah.
I do find it funny that everyone was talking in the chat until my wife left, and now the chat's dead.
Well, you know, what's been said's been said.
You just need to get a woman co-host on the show and actually get some conversation going. And
no, I think the fact that it is
someone new,
time of night it is why the chat's dead.
Yeah, I know. So we have Troy Denning, who's been the author of Last Light, Retribution, Silent Storm, and Oblivion. Kelly Gay, Smoke and Shadow, and Renegades. Cassandra Rose Clark, author of Battleborn and Meridian Divide. Matt Forbeck, author of Halo New Blood, Bad Blood, and Legacy of Onyx. Joe Staton, author of Contact Harvest and Shadow of Intent. Ann Toll, author of Lone Wolf. Frankie, author of Saints Testimony. Ed Schlesinger, editor of all the Halo things at Simon & Schuster. And then Jeff Easterling, a.k.a. Grimbrother One, author of Halo Mythos. All of them will be at Outpost Anaheim. And I'm hoping to score some interviews with some of them.
Two?
We've had Matt Forbeck on the show back at San Diego 2015. We did a little bit of an interview with him for New Blood. And I'm at least happy to say that I've read all of his books.
Well, that's good. At least you won't embarrass yourself.
Some of those other books, though, I still need to read that I'm working on. But that's going to be the lore-studded cast that is going to be there at Outpost. They did do a live cannon fodder at Houston. Wouldn't be surprised if it did it again in Anaheim. So if you're going to be there, then make sure you check out the schedule. I believe they did that on Saturday in Houston, so that's probably the day to check out for the cannon fodder live panel in Anaheim. Another little thing that Grim adds, and by the time you're listening to this download, it'll be a little bit too late, but for those that are listening live, Jeff is also going to be on the Forza Friday stream at 3 p.m. Pacific time this coming Friday, so on the 23rd of August.
Cool.
Yeah. On the social stream yesterday, I hadn't had a chance to watch it, but they had some folks on to talk about the Gears and Halo crossover. And there was also supposedly a little bit of information regarding Halo Reach on PC with Dursky in there as well. Again, I haven't checked out the stream, so I don't know the specifics in there. But the VOD is up over on the Halo Mixer channel if you want to go check that out. And then for the MCC playlist update, we have two updates that we haven't covered. So we'll cover them both here pretty quickly. From last week's update, they were updating two... they were including two new community race tracks in the Action Stack playlist. So for Halo 2 Anniversary, they added Extraordinary by Noble Forger, which is on the map Remnant. And they've added Jurassic by Duquesne 23, which has been forged on Awash. And those can be found in the Halo 2 Anniversary Free-for-All Action Stack playlist. And then for this week's update... this is a Team Doubles focus playlist update, so they've added Team Double presets to Social Games. This includes all titles and the following game types: Slayer, Flag and Bomb, Zone Control, and Asset Denial. They've also enabled team matching and social 2v2, so solos will match with solos and teams will match with teams. For Halo 5, right now we have Forerunner Slayer, and Action Sack replaces Castle Wars today. Next week, we'll have Rock and Rail rotating in for Forerunner Slayer and Warzone Turbo going live. 343 Postums on Twitter has been posting a lot on the status of the ring blockers. So they had two main ring blockers for Ring 3. So Ring 3 being the Halo Insiders program that they've addressed. And they found another one, which they were quickly pushing through Ring 1 and Ring 2. So right now it is in Ring 1 and Ring 2 to test the latest Firefight build. And if everything goes well, we will see a Halo Insider build for the Fireflight as early as this weekend.
Fingers crossed. Of course, this would be the weekend I work. But that's okay.
I mean, I'll be working on a deck and then going over to game night all day Saturday. And Sunday will be me trying to edit all my panel videos from Houston, because I've been on a work trip for the past 2.5 days, so I haven't touched anything from Houston yet.
Yeah, there's been some little bit of video editing going on over here, too.
Cool. How close are we to our next installation of the series?
It all depends on the editing software.
Okay.
Since I've had to reinstall everything, I'm trying some new stuff.
Ah,
okay. For this episode. So, just as new far as from a viewing point of view, there should be no difference. But from a composing point of view, there's probably going to be a lot of difference. I'm hoping this will decrease the amount of time it takes to edit, but so far it's not increasing it, at least.
Well, that's good.
This last episode only took me about 3 hours to do the initial cut.
That's not too bad. But how many cuts do you have?
It's 3 hours to edit an hour and 15-minute video that's uncut.
2-to-1 ratio is actually not that bad.
So, no, I'm... instead of using Adobe, I've installed DaVinci Resolve because I now have a computer that is actually capable of running it. And it gives me access to a lot of tools that the Adobe Elements does not. Things that have just been bugging me ever since I've started the series with Adobe. You know, there was tricks I was using to kind of get the same effect, but not really. And I'm tired of doing the tricks, so I've got just some more stuff to take care of, and hopefully I'll be able to get that edited up here and posted pretty soon. And then I can get on to recording the next one, which ought to be interesting. The cool. Recording part is probably on delay until I can get my replacement hard drive, because I don't. I haven't actually done any recording with the current setup. I don't know if my drives are fast enough to record at the quality I've been recording at. So I'm going to have to do some testing and find out, and then go from there.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for the update.
The other thing is now I'm working off a mechanical drive. It takes longer,
significantly longer.
Yes.
That's not just longer. That's painfully slower.
Yeah.
Painful.
I literally start my computer. I'm back to start my computer. It comes up to the login screen pretty quickly. I log in, and then I go get a drink, or I go let the dog out, or I do something else for a couple of minutes while all the programs that I have set to start up. Where, you know, before it was start the computer, log in, and then just start doing work.
That's one of those things where whenever you go dual monitor, you can't go back. Whenever you go solid state, you can't go back.
It's really rough. Yeah, I never really got away from it because all the computers at work they're still spinning disks. So I never got away from it. But yeah, all my own stuff. Is solid state, except for my desktop at the moment because they went. But it's definitely something that I am adjusting to. It's just taking time.
That's a big adjustment. This week in Halo, what do we have for this one, GT? This was actually today. Believe it or not, this one got posted. Edward Buck, one of the most renowned ODST veterans of the Covenant War and current Spartan 4, is born on Draco 3. So that is today, August 22nd in 2510. So, happy birthday, Buck. At this point in the franchise, if we're going by the latest trailer in for Infinite, he is 51 years old. He's one old Spartan.
Yeah, but how many years has he spent in cryo?
Yeah.
So how old is he really?
Well, there's how old is he as far as the passage of time versus how old is his body because of cryo. I still think they probably celebrate normal birthdays even if you were in cryo for a while, right?
So you get out and you celebrate 5 birthdays because you've been asleep for 5 years?
That'd be one wicked birthday party.
Man, I
woohoo. And that was basically Chief.
You need to be a Spartan to survive that one.
Chief was in cryo for over 4 years.
Yeah. Gray Team was in cryo for 6, but we don't know what they're up to right at the moment.
We're about to find out.
Well, I mean, you know, after what is about to happen, that Dust hasn't finished yet.
Oh.
You know, it's Dust.
What's after Envoy? Like, what's the sequel to Envoy?
There isn't one.
Oh, okay.
Yet.
Got it. All right. That's all the news. We did get the community spotlight dropped on us, like GT said, 5 minutes before the show started. So we'll just go through that and see how quickly we can get through stuff. Grey Wolf is, again, a master in rendering and came up with a crossover with Gears and Halo with the recent announcement, which that's impressive to come up with a render that quickly in like 2 days.
Well, when you know your stuff, you know your stuff.
Yeah, but dang. It's really good. Oh, well, on a side note, Pixel Flare is taking commissions again, so we're actually going to get some stuff from him.
Cool.
Just got to work with him on what we're going to get, but it's going to be a whole streaming package type deal with a couple of additional things for YouTube. So yeah, we're going to get a nice new fresh coat of paint.
All right.
Just in time for Infinite, not in time for Outpost, unfortunately, with the Podtackle name splattered everywhere. But we're working on it.
Hey, well. We'll see if we can get back out there with Infinite.
Yeah. Another thing that was really cool. Did you have a chance to check out this main Halo theme on the marimba video?
No, I have not.
So if you think kind of marching band style music with like the xylophone and all the other kind of marching band instruments, it's like that with the Halo theme, and it kind of is pretty cool. Turns out pretty well. And of course there's a whole bunch of other renders and screenshots and really cool things that the community does, which is just completely amazing and
mind-blowing. Yeah, we're not discrediting the quality of the art. It's just you can't put it in words. You just need to go look at it.
Yeah. I need at some point to get the live streams up to where I can just scroll through this stuff on the live stream itself. I just got to figure out how exactly to do that and do it well.
Oh, it's almost like you need to do almost like a slideshow.
Kind of. Just with everything that's in here. Maybe just rip all the images, put them in the PowerPoint, and have the PowerPoint going through in like a video or something. There's one in here that really stands out for me, and that's the one by Matthew W010. It's the last render in that first set of renders. So it's has one of the GRD squeaky dolls and a really good render of a female Marine.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's kind of in an orbital station of some kind. Kind of reminds me of Reach a little bit. And then below that, someone made the Pillar of Autumn in Minecraft.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. And they lit it, you know, as far as lights. It looks really good. It, you know, at first glance, it does not look like Minecraft.
But it's Minecraft. It's, yeah. We can't really do a lot of this stuff justice by just talking about it, because it's...
like I said, you just need to look at it.
At this point, I might just say, hey, new community spotlight's up, here are our favorites, go check it out, type of thing.
That's kind of what we've been doing.
There's an anime-style piece in here, which is done by SkyKiki77. It's really cool. Kind of fits well for me, because I've been watching Bleach a lot lately, so it's kind of cool to see the anime crossover.
Yeah. It's like we've got one. Let's see. By Spartan Mandy's. Spartan Mandy. Looks like a watercolor of the scene with Chief and Cortana in Halo 4.
That one's pretty.
Uh-huh. then looks like there's a good, I don't know if it's a pencil or...
Which one?
Tex D41 did a drawing. It may be
of Isabel.
Watercolors of Isabel and of Serena, which are really good.
I'm going to check their Twitter account, see if they say what it is. Traditional art. Yeah, it doesn't...
He said
doesn't
doodles.
Yeah, she doesn't say what she used for it, but yeah, I'm guessing it's some
probably it's probably pencils is what it probably looks like, or like grease pens or something. I don't know. It looks really cool. I like it.
Me too. I just wish they said like kind of what it was, because it'd be interesting just to know how they drew it. But yeah, that one is the. Both of those are incredible. She says she did a Cortana one, but the flash washed it out a little bit, so she didn't post it.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about this. There was a saxophone playing ODST in Houston.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he had a little part of his visor that popped out so he could actually play the sax. And
that's cool.
It was incredible. He was really good at actually playing it. He was playing the whole ODST sax theme throughout the entire weekend. You could hear whenever he was playing in the convention, because you just hear the sax break out. And he's like, yep, that's the ODST guy. He's playing again for somebody. You can probably actually hear him in one of my panels once I get one of those videos up.
Hell, now I'm going to have to watch him just to see if I can hear him.
If it doesn't get edited out from me trying to fix the audio. But yeah, he did a... And he won one of the, he might have won like a judge's choice type of thing. I don't know if he won any of the formal prize positions, but yeah, he was really good, and it was really cool to see that happen. Lots of other cosplay stuff from Outpost in the community spotlight, including some Marines actually in Pelican training.
Yep.
And facing off against the Elite.
Mm-hmm.
Got some Spartans in there as well. Some screenshots, which are still boggles my mind how some of these screenshots actually are just from the game.
Yeah.
With all the different effects that you can add on there and the different staging
the
of things.
The capabilities of the game these days is truly amazing.
It's incredible.
I have lots of favorites, but those are the ones that kind of key in that I kind of like. Of course, there's the last one with Pikachu and Master Chief. Master Chief, right? Or with Pikachu in the field.
Oh, that's cool. They use the Ollie as the body.
Yeah.
There's also, too, before we close this out, above the tweets, someone had the Halo pancakes, the video of the Halo pancakes being made. So I'm going to have to check that one out later, but... The still of it is a Master Chief pancake. And there's a whole bunch of montages in here as well. Check out the community spotlight. It's incredible, as always. It's hard to do it justice just from a audio-based podcast.
Yes.
It's worth checking out, though. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. I think we will be off again next week because I will be heading out to Seattle bright and early Wednesday morning. So the next time you hear us will be the wrap-up on Outpost as a whole. I have gotten word from John Friend and DJ that they would be more than happy to do a post-mortem type of a podcast. I'm also happy to do kind of a post-mortem with Kiki in Anaheim and maybe some of the other 343 folks as well. So that might be coming down the pipeline, but we'll have that. After Seattle, and then we'll have our Envoy podcast as well, and then we'll start drumming up the regular content of shows, asking you guys for inputs on topics, trying to get some more guest hosts on, and that kind of stuff. So if you have anything that you would like us to discuss or have any ideas for topics, then please let us know. Reach out to us on social media or our Discord. You can hit us up on Twitter, Facebook. We also have an Instagram where I'm posting some stuff from Outpost. Didn't post anything from Houston, but I tried to post some stuff from Philly and Chicago, and we'll try to from Anaheim. But please let us know, because we want to make some stuff that is consumable by you guys for the future podcast episodes coming out here pretty soon. And we'll be done with Outpost here in two weeks' time. So we'll need to get back on that topic train, and we want your input for it. You can also send us an email to submissions@poddaggler.com if you want to do it that way as well. You can also reach us on our Spartan Company and our Xbox Club. Although we don't check it as often, we still have those to use for, one, getting our company commendations done. We're still chipping away to try to get that Achilles helmet before everyone gets distracted by Infinite. And we haven't been using the Xbox Club as much, but once I'm away from Outpost and not being consumed by it as often, we might start utilizing it a little bit more again. We'll see how that goes. You can also check us out on our streaming platforms. We stream the podcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, except for next week, because we'll be off next week. But you can find us on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube. We also have our Fragment Fridays hosted by GT. Those happen starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And that goes on for about two and a half hours. We also have the achievement streams that I do. Right now I'm doing them with Laird on Halo Wars Definitive Edition. And that takes place on Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're going to be at Outpost Anaheim, please make sure to hit me up. I still have some of the Outpost exclusive pins. Just come up to me. I'll be in my Podtacular jersey. And just say, keep on fragging trucks, and you'll score yourself one of the Podtacular exclusive pins for Outpost. Any final words before we put a close to this episode, GT?
No, I think I'm done for tonight.
Alrighty. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you for the live stream and for being a welcoming crew to my wife to the podcast. She will be making a return here after we play some more Halo and get through the Halo 2 story. Really appreciate you guys being welcoming of her and being oh so nice to her in the chat. Really appreciate it. We'll catch you guys in a couple of weeks. Keep an eye out on the feed for the Chicago panel audio that will be posted this coming weekend, and the Houston audio to follow that one. And we'll have some podcasts likely coming out of PAX and some interviews coming out of Halo Outpost in Anaheim. So stay tuned to that. Also, I will be having an opportunity to interview Steve Downs and Jen Taylor in Anaheim. So if you have any burning questions, little snippet questions, because I'm not going to get a lot of time with them, but if you have any snippet questions that you want me to ask them, then hit me up on Twitter or Discord, and I will try to pull a little collection of questions I can get. Try to get something that might be just like 1 minute answers, because I might have as little as 10 minutes with them. So yeah, if you have little questions, I will try to get them asked. But yeah, that is an opportunity, so I figure I just would share it with some other people.
Cool.
Alright, everybody, thanks for tuning in to the live stream. Thanks for downloading the show. We'll catch you guys in a couple weeks, or we'll catch you on one of our other streams. Until then, keep on fragging them trucks.